figuring this out and knowing what it is for your products and where you need to be, where the number one bestseller is, what his conversion is, will tell you everything.
Thanks for subscribing to the ZonCon podcast, the podcast all about Amazon conversations. These are the tips and tricks to become an Amazon millionaire. Here is your host, Andrew Erickson. He is all things Amazon, and so is this podcast. Let's have an Amazon conversation.
Hey guys, welcome back to the ZonCon podcast. This is your host, as always, Andrew Erickson. I'm here with one of my really good friends, Simon. Simon and I have gone back years now, I guess, being in Titan together, and then we were in a weekly accountability meeting together for over a year. And Simon's based in Colombia, but he is Canadian born, and he is one of the best PPC gurus I know. I know, Simon, that you had a brand on Amazon and you sold it a few years ago and you had a nice little exit and then you kind of jumped into the PPC game. And so I thought, oh, Simon, you have to come on and tell me about some PPC hacks and some PPC mistakes and some ways to really improve our Amazon advertising. So, Simon, thank you so much for being here today.
Nice to see you. Great seeing you, Andrew. And great being here. Hello, everyone. And one correction, I'm actually Polish born. And then when I was a child, my parents moved me to Canada and I grew up in Canada. I went to school there and grew up in Canada. But right now I live in Colombia, Medellin, where it's always summer, it's always spring, it's always beautiful, and I love it here. So yeah, thanks for that great intro. I really appreciate it.
I love it. And Simon, you have, your name is pronounced Simon, just like kind of the, you know, the normal... Yeah. American name. You have a fun spelling. It's like I always hear people call you like Sizmoon, Saziman, it's just Simon. So, and then your name's a little tricky. Your last name's a little tricky too, right?
Spelling. Yeah, it's a futuristic spelling. It's Szymon or Szymon. So I'm keeping it that way. I like it. It's original. And my last name is Sekchinski, but my friends call me Sekski for short. And just makes it easy that way. So
nice. I love it. No, I like your spelling of Simon's fun. Once I was more confident on how to say it, I was like, oh, that's actually cool. I love that. So Szymon. Cool. So Simon, you are here to tell us about PPC. You have a PPC agency where you have a few clients you help with their Amazon advertising. And I thought, okay, come on and tell us a little bit about the agency, and then we're going to jump right into the top three PPC mistakes that people have.
Yeah, sure. So agency started about, you know, last a year and a half ago, actually. And like you mentioned, I was a Amazon seller since 2012, actually. And I was, I sold fitness equipment. I had a fitness equipment brand, and I sold and I did that for about 8 years. And I dove really deep into PPC, and that became one of my specializations. And then I sold my company at the end of 2019, and I took a little bit of a break. And then I actually had a lot of friends and family that were approaching me that were running Amazon businesses that wanted for me to help them with their PPC. So I started getting into that, and that's how the agency model started. For me, that's how I started the agency, and now we have a fairly nice team, fairly sizable team, and a number of clients, and yeah, we're loving it because we can go, and I love it because I can go a mile deep, you know, because in Amazon there's maybe five major verticals, and you're kind of spread thin across all these things, you know, inventory management and listing optimization and you know, manufacturing and PPC, and you're kind of spread thin. But for me, having the ability to just focus really deep on one of those verticals allows me to become very specialized at it, and I love it. So I really appreciate it.
Nice. I love that. And what's your agency?
The agency is called AMZ Guardian, and it's like Guardians of the Galaxy, but we specialize in Amazon. And you can check out our website at amz.com, it's a fun little name.
Nice. Love it. Cool. All right, I want to hear the top three mistakes for that people are doing with their PPC Amazon advertising campaigns right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that we talked about is you know, coming back to the basics. I think that, you know, a lot of people just don't understand how to structure their campaigns properly, and that's one of the mistakes. So you know, where a lot of people are doing keyword dumping, they're putting 50 keywords into a campaign, and you'll see, and you can do this, you know, you can test this yourself. When you put, let's say, 50 keywords into a campaign, only your top five or your top seven are going to get impressions, are going to get traffic. The rest of them are not going to be getting any attention. And so it's very important to structure your campaigns in a way that, allows for traffic to get to those keywords, meaning single keyword campaigns. And I think that recently, you know, it's probably been become more popular, but it still can't, it cannot be emphasized on how important that is, because of the control that you have with single keyword campaigns, you know, because of the isolation when it comes to top of search, for example, bidding strategies, if you want to switch to up and down on that specific keyword, or any of those things, it's a lot easier to manage. And everything, at least in our agency, you know, I think that a lot of people in general are very much so overwhelmed by having, let's say, 1,000 separate campaigns. But at least in our agencies, you know, we do everything through spreadsheets anyways. And you can, it doesn't matter, you know, in a spreadsheet, if it's, you know, if it's, there's 1,000 campaigns, because everything is manageable. You can control the data better. And also, you know, inside of your ad manager, you actually have, there's a tab that I don't even know if a lot of people are familiar with this, but, there's a tab that is called targeting. And, if you click that tab on top, then it actually isolates all the keywords individually for you. So you don't have to click in and out of campaigns anymore. You can just manage your keywords inside of that tab. So that would be mistake number one, I would say, in general.
Interesting. So the way I used to do it, and I'll tell you how I had been doing PPC. And I think that a lot of people probably fall into this. Right, into this thing. So I had no idea what I was doing at the beginning, just like with everything in life, right? No idea. And then I went through a bunch of trainings and a bunch of thises and a bunch of thats. And then I tried a bunch of stuff and lost a bunch of money. And finally kind of got to the point where I at least wasn't losing a bunch of money, but it was kind of working and I liked it. But at some point I was, you know, like building up the, spending a lot of time on PPC. And so I ended up just hiring somebody to do it for me. And, you know, 2 years went by and it was okay. It was fine. Right. Year and a half, whatever. And that person kind of ghosted me. So now I'm like diving in the deep end with PPC and getting like a handle of it. And so it's funny, cause like a lot of the biggest mistakes, everyone knows this. And I'm finding, I do this all day. I did not know that kind of stuff, right? So just this last few months, I kind of realized a single word. I heard about it, but now I'm realizing, oh yeah, the single word campaigns actually are pretty fantastic. So you mentioned it was top of search. That's killer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then kind of being able to isolate. You said also the top down or the up and down bidding too is a big
up
one too,
up and down,
right?
Yeah, you can manage you know, your bidding strategy, so you can go down only or fixed or up and down on the individual keyword, and you could just isolate the data a lot better, and it's just a lot easier to manage. And the most important thing is that I think that the you know, the impression flow, so you have a much higher possibility of getting impressions sent to that keyword if it's a single keyword campaign.
So, why is that? Like, so if you put in 50 words into one campaign and then Amazon just seems to kind of choose like four or five and then all the other ones just kind of die, kind of wither on the vine. Why do they do that?
You know what? It's I wish I had the instruction manual from Amazon. I think I would, but it's always been like that. I call it the fire hose effect. So it's where you know, it just, Amazon sees that they can get the most money here. These keywords have proven themselves. So let's just direct all the budget towards these three keywords, because we're not sure if we're going to get it from the other ones. But you know that these keywords work for you, because you've done, at least the way, you know, at least we know that we've done our homework and researched highly relevant keywords, and we know that they're very good, but they're just not getting any impressions. So, you know, one of the strategies to address that is to remove those keywords out of those campaigns, the ones that are not performing, and then create new single keyword campaigns. And just, you know, that's when we're talking, where we get into restructuring of these campaigns. But, you know, don't remove the ones that are working, because those are, you know, some people call them legacy. Some people say, traffic over, or momentum over structure. So, you know, if you're getting impressions and you're getting really good sales on the ones that are in those big campaigns, then leave them in there. Don't, because it'll affect your sales and your performance.
Good. Okay. Good to know. So the mistake number one is not doing single word campaigns, but of course, be a little mindful on how you mitigate that mistake. Don't just like kill everything right overnight Don't kill your momentum, right? Momentum over structure, right? So that's mistake number one. What's mistake number two?
Yeah. So mistake number two is starting your campaigns with auto or broad or phrase, and not doing your highly relevant keyword research. And you know, we have so many tools nowadays that are just phenomenal for keyword research. And even with brand analytics, we're getting more insights on the keywords that are going to work really well for you, for your brand. And, you know, having that information and having the tools that we have nowadays, it's very important to do your research on your most important keywords up front. You know, with the strategies that we have, that we use, we can discover up to 80% of the keywords that are going to work for you, that are going to perform for you very well. So, you know, if you're able to do that and put those into exact match structures, campaign structures, and then you will be able to save a lot of money on ad spend. You're going to have a much lower A cost, and you can control your ranking as well a lot better, because now you can say, okay, I want to be ranking for these specific keywords, right? And then so you can control all of that much better. So, you know, the old model is the way that a lot of agencies used to do it, and I'm still shocked. I actually interviewed someone for a PPC management position 2 weeks ago. And he, you know, and I asked him, like, how do you set up your campaigns? You know, and he told me, yeah, we do discovery first. We do auto, and then we do broad. And then I'm like, that was from 3 years ago. So don't do that anymore. You know, do, you know, the keyword research, find your most highly relevant keywords and put them in, you know your keywords. I mean, you know, Amazon to me is an SEO game. You know, it's an SEO business. So you have to understand where you want to rank, how you want to rank. So that's mistake number two for me, where it's, you know, not starting your campaigns with highly relevant keywords and doing proper research.
Oh man, I feel like I have a PhD in all these mistakes now. that is exactly how you said that's the standard from, you know, 3 years ago. That's exactly when I was really into the PPC stuff. And guys, the game has changed. The systems have changed. the tools have changed, the way that Amazon uses PPC has changed, the amount of PPC that you have to spend, the budget to allocate has changed. So if you did learn these systems, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, and you're kind of coasting on that, which is what I was doing, this is, we're now finding the game is changing right now. And so, I that's how I did it. I was taught, set up an auto campaign, let it run. And when you get some data, whatever converts, just throw it into a phrase match or whatever. And then if it converts really well, then put it into an exact match. You kind of go like really broad and get narrower and narrower and narrower. And now the new techniques are no, just go straight to the exacts. You should know the keywords that you're going to convert on. And as Simon said, the highly relevant keywords, for me, people always ask me, like, well, how do I know it's highly relevant? For me, well, first of all, you could just try it. I mean, if you try it and you convert well, that's obviously like, that's a way to know. But that's kind of, you have to spend a lot of money, a couple $1,000 to kind of figure that out. So we don't want to have to spend a couple $1,000s on dozens of keywords. For me, the intuitive way of knowing it's highly relevant, when you search it on Amazon, just go to Amazon, go to the little search query bar thingy at the top, type it in. If your product, your product and your direct competitors pop up and the page is mostly filled with just you and your direct competitors, that is a highly relevant keyword.
Yep.
An example of a not relevant keyword would be Father's Day gifts. That pops up a lot of different things. There's wallets, there's phone cases, there's golf kits, there's whatever, there's a bunch of different stuff, right? But what is highly relevant would be club covers.
I have a product here, for example. So this is a cork foam roller. So this is a fitness equipment product. And so a lower relevancy keyword would be foam roller, but a highly relevant keyword would be cork or wooden foam roller. So if somebody typed in foam roller, they probably would not buy this because it's a lot harder, and it might be a little bit painful for sports, you know, fitness or that kind of intent, but for deeper muscle massage, this would be a search. You know, you'd say wooden foam roller, or you would say cork foam roller, or solid foam roller. So those are just some examples of keywords that would be much more relevant. Then in other examples, you can get into colors, you can get into sizes. You can get into intent, like if it's for kids, if it's for parents, if it's for mom. And, you can keep, typically the phrases get longer and longer, but they also get more and more specific. But there's also a lot more of them. So you can cast a much wider net to capture a larger volume of keywords. You know, they're not as they don't have, their search volume isn't as high, but when they all add up, it does accumulate quite a bit. So that would be an example.
Nice, of that. I love it. Yeah, that's a great example. The cork foam roller. What's mistake number three?
So mistake number three, and it kind of ties into mistake number two, is not graduating your keywords quickly enough from auto, broad, and phrase. And we mentioned, don't do auto, broad, and phrase from the beginning, from the get-go. But later on, and we usually do, we set this up maybe 2-3 weeks later, is we do set up phrase and broad, but typically phrase. And that's because broad we find is a lot more expensive, but it almost does the same job. And auto as well. And these are called, you know, discovery campaigns. So these are campaigns where, you know, you've discovered, let's say, 80% of your keywords, but there might be 20% that you might still want to continue discovering. Maybe you missed something. And these are discovery campaigns that will help you find those keywords. But the important thing is, and what a lot of people don't do, and this is mistake number three, is that they don't graduate those keywords from those campaigns. So, you know, let's say you find you start getting sales in your phrase campaign on a new phrase that you didn't have. And, you know, what you want to do is have a system every week or every 2 weeks where you're graduating those keywords from phrase or auto, and you're creating new exact match campaigns for that. Because once it's an exact, it's more controllable. You can control exactly the term, and you can control also, you know, if you want to increase the bids, if you want to get more traffic on and more impressions, or if you want to get a little bit less. And this way you can actually control the term. But the problem is that some people don't do it soon enough. And the phrase or the auto campaign picks up so much momentum that to take it out of there would affect your sales quite a bit in a negative way. So you kind of want to do that early on. You want to remove, you want to have a system or a process. You know, we do it every 2 weeks where we go in and we remove all those and we graduate them into exact. And, you know, it's also very important to note, one thing that I didn't mention is that it's important to have exact negative matches inside of those phrases and those autos from your exact, so that they don't repeat again. So once you've removed it, exact negative that phrase and continue that. So that's mistake number three, is that people don't graduate soon enough, and they let broad and phrase and auto take over those bids.
Interesting. So let's just clarify. So PPC can sometimes be hard to describe via audio, right? I know probably about 2/3 or 3/4 of people half of people I talk to about PPC will zone out when we start talking about PPC. So I'm assuming they've already zoned out already. So they probably skip this episode. So the half that are actually here who are like down to get into it. Just to clarify, we have auto campaign. Amazon has decided that you're relevant for these keywords with their fancy algorithm. Phrase, of course, is like you can match with it's like similar words that are kind of phrased match, whatever. And exact is like the exact spelling, exactly how it is, with the exception of like plurals. I think plurals are all included in exact.
That's right.
So mm-hmm. So puzzle and puzzles with a plural, they'll be in this, they'll match for the same thing. So, okay, just to clarify that. Now, you tell me, Simon, when we have the auto phrase and exact match, you're saying we should skip the broad match.
Well, we do. And we do that because in the example of broad, when you have, let's say, jump rope, what it'll do is it'll, for example, list you or give you an impression for rope. Which is very broad, but phrase will maintain, you know, jump rope, but it'll maybe say jump rope for kids. It'll always kind of maintain the main words inside, but it'll rearrange them. It'll add things. So we find that it's just cheaper because the intent is still very close. And if you've done your keyword research correctly off the bat, then you should be pretty close to everything that you should be getting already.
Perfect. How do you have a suggestion? So let's say we've set up an auto campaign. We have jump rope for kids has converted. Or when do you graduate, as you call it? I like that word, to graduate a keyword from your auto into phrase and then from phrase into exact. How many sales? How many clicks? How many? Is there some sort of metric you're looking at?
Yeah, I would say we typically do it when there is at least 2 to 3 sales, and then you could manually read the word and see, okay, is this a relevant keyword for me? If you feel that it is, then graduate it. And also that it has fairly good ACoS performance, that the conversion rate is pretty good as well. And that's when we usually look at it 2 to 3 kind of conversions, and then we graduate it if we feel that's good.
Is there a metric on what the conversion rate should be, or the click-through rate, or anything else like that?
You know what? Conversion rates are and click-through rates are very much so category dependent, and you can figure that out what it is for your category. Because some people will say, you know, oh, they'll look at somebody's conversion, they'll say 15%. Anything below 15% is bad. But if you're in apparel, if you're in clothing, then typically 6%, 7% is the standard for that category, because people are shopping around. They want to see, you know, different styles, different colors. And so it really depends. And you can see that inside of your account. I don't know if we have time to get into that right now, but you know, you need to figure out what your conversion is for your category, for your product type, and then use that as a benchmark for your products.
That's good to know. Yeah. And I'll say on top of that, another factor that goes into that is price point. I had a product that was, so the brand that we sold, we tried to have, you know, we intentionally tried to have higher, different price points. The cheapest product we sold was $14. The most expensive we sold was $89, right? So we went pretty far along that spectrum of pricing. The $14 product converted over 20%, and the $90 product converted at like 4%, right? But it's fine. It's fine, because you do the math and you're paying $1 per click, right? Well, I only have a 4% or 5%, whatever conversion rate. Well, it actually still works, because my margin is $20, $30, $40 on that product, right? And so it works. It's just like that, you just have to peg it against itself, right? So what we always did is we said, okay, well, you know what? We know our conversion rate. We know our click-through rate and our sessions and blah, blah, blah. We know what we did like last month, last 3 weeks. Are we getting better? Are we at least staying the same? And if we're going down, why are we going down? How do we fix it? And if we're going up, that's great. What do we do different that made us go up, right? And so that's at least how we track it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, conversion rate is king. I think it's the most important metric there is. And it's figuring this out and knowing what it is for your products and where you need to be, where the number one bestseller is, what his conversion is, will tell you everything. It'll tell you how your product is going to perform in the future. If you're below that metric, you know, then there's things that you need to work on. There's improvements to your listings that you can make and to improve your conversions. And that's what you should be focusing on, because, you know, PPC, as we say, is a symptom of listing conversion. So it doesn't matter how you know, great of a strategy you have. If you don't have good conversions in relation to your category, then you're just not going to perform.
Nice. Cool. I love it, Simon. Great. Those are the three biggest mistakes that people have in their PPC campaigns. We're going to bring you on next week to talk about the top three things to improve your PPC performance, how to get it better, and also some really cool tips and tricks. And these new tools have actually come out in the last month or two that Amazon has kind of released, these new data tools that we can use. We're going to do that next week. But to finish out this episode, I love to ask everyone the same three questions I ask everybody. And the first question I like to ask everybody, we are on this entrepreneurial journey. We've done this with intent. We've chosen this journey as opposed to being doing our 9-to-5 job with some big giant corporation or whatever. And I always like to ask people why.
Right.
Why'd you do that? Why not just take the easy path and do the 9-to-5 thing? So Simon, what's your why?
I mean, I love the freedom that entrepreneurship provides me, that, you know, the fact that I can travel, that I can live in other countries, that I can live in South America, that and the flexibility. And also, you know, the best part of this for me is the people that I meet. I get to hang out and meet people who are just absolutely brilliant, and they're just doing, you know, they're inspiring, they're doing amazing things. And you know, one of the reasons why, you know, why I love the agency, the PPC agency model, is because I get to I get to talk to entrepreneurs. I get to, I get to work with them. I get to interact with people, like yourself, and have great conversations and people who are growth oriented. And one of the things that really kind of gets us going in our agency is helping businesses grow. So if we see that, we've helped a business grow, if we've helped to increase their sales, and that really excites us because we feel like we're a part of it. We feel like we're a part of the team, and we feel like we're contributing to the growth of that company and the energy that creates. And it's a fantastic feeling. So I mean, that's been my why, and I like it, and I love the interaction with entrepreneurs and everything about it.
Nice. I love it. I love the freedom and the ability to hang out with other entrepreneurs. I love it. That's fantastic. So the next question I'd like to ask everybody is, what is a book or a piece of media that you want to share with us that you think the audience would, or something that's inspired you or changed your mindset?
Yeah, I think, the one book that I love and I always recommend, I mean, being an agency we're very human resource centric. So you typically have a much higher amount of staff members than a typical Amazon company. And one of the most important things is team building. So the book that I love the most in that space is called Who by Jeff Smart and Andy Street. And I recommend that book. And, one of the most amazing takeaways that I got from that book is in the interview process, having a few questions that really shifts the attention creates accountability in the interview. So what it does, let me start that from the beginning. So one of the things that the book has taught me is that it really makes the interviewee very honest and very transparent. And the questions are, questions like, who is your last boss? And when you ask him that question, how do you write that name down? You write it down, right? And then you ask them, you tell them, one of the next steps will be for me to set up a reference email or communicate with them. And when I do talk to them and when I ask them, what your strengths and weaknesses were back then, what are they going to say to me? Right. So as soon as you ask that question, the person thinks to themselves, I need to be transparent in this conversation. Right. So you really get to the bottom of understanding what this individual is like. And then you can ask some follow-up questions like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are they going to rate you? And based on your past performance. And you always, it's important to phrase it in a way where you're referring to their past performance, not today, right? You just want to know how they were then because, they've probably improved. There's a possibility of that. But it just makes them a lot more transparent and it gives you so much insight. So the book, has some amazing and lots of great, amazing insights into interviewing and analyzing whether this is the right person for this position. But your company is just a collection of individuals. And the better the quality of these people, the higher the quality of these people, the better your company, the better the performance. And it's so important. I can't stress this enough how important it is to surround yourself with the right people and have the right team. So really highly recommend that book. One of my favorite books.
I love it. So it's Who by who's the author?
By Jeff Smart and Andy Street. There's nice. Two. Cool. Yeah. Co-authors.
I just read Who Not How, which is a different book, but sounds fairly similar in that same niche there. Oh, that's right. Great. I'm going to add, I've not read Who. I'm going to add that to my reading list. Simon, what is one actionable thing that Amazon sellers can do today?
So this is a strategy that we developed inside of our agency. And I think that this is an amazing thing that not a lot of people do. And we call it a keyword spin process. And it's very simple. What you do is you look at your best performing keywords. And so, for example, keywords that have the lowest ACoS, they have a lot of sales, they have a lot of conversions, they have a really great conversion rate. And what you want to do is you take that keyword and you take it out and you do keyword research. So you take that keyword out and you do keyword research around that phrase or keyword. And so you go down the rabbit hole of that keyword specifically. So an example might be using Amazon Suggest. So when you put in a phrase like jump rope for kids inside of your search box, then Amazon Suggest is going to give you another 10 phrases around that that are highest or most searched phrases. And this is an example of how you can find more. There's some tools that you could use that help do that as well. But we found that going and doing research around what works for you, what's converting really well for you, is something that can be implemented right away. You know, you can go and look inside of your ad manager. You can see which keywords are performing really well for you, and then do additional keyword around keyword research around those keywords, and then set up single keyword campaigns, an exact match format for those. So that's something that I invite everybody to do. Do keyword research around things that work for you and continue that process. We do that every 2 weeks. So that's something that's been working really well. And I invite everybody to do that.
Nice. I love it. I love it, Son. That's a great tip there. So thank you so much for coming on, telling us the top three mistakes that people are doing with their PPC campaigns. And if people want to check you out, it's amzguardians.com, right?
Guardian, singular. Yeah.
Guardian. So you're the single person guarding the AMZ PPC for people. Yes. Awesome.
Amazing being here. Thank you so much for, and anytime, you know, I can share knowledge and help improve anybody's business or just help, you know, share, then I'm super happy to be here and share information. So thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Simon.
Appreciate it.
Hey guys, if you found value from this episode, I would love if you could tell the world. And if you don't want to tell the entire world, I would love for you to tell iTunes at least. If you can go to iTunes, if you listen to this podcast on iTunes, go ahead and go leave us a review. I have a few here that are amazing that I love to read out. I read every single review that's posted. Go to iTunes, leave a review. Also, Spotify now is allowing ratings. So please go on to Spotify, and super easy. You don't even have to write anything. You just hit 5 stars and leave that review. You know, as an Amazon seller, how important reviews are to your business. I am asking you, at the goodness of your heart, please leave me a review as well. Thanks.